I'm so glad that I've been asked to talk about this topic concerning da'wah. And the first thing I would like to talk about in this regard is the way that the word da'wah has been abused. Because we find these days, my dear brothers and sisters, that this term da'wah is being applied to almost anything and everything. And of course, in a sense, in a way, there are many different things that can be looked at and that can be thought of as giving da'wah. But fundamentally, when we come across the term da'wah in the Quran, we find that this term is used to refer to inviting people to Islam. Inviting people, those people who are not yet Muslim. As our Sheikh Hussein Yi, one of the expressions that he's taught us, he says, and I won't put on his accent, but he says, don't call them non-Muslim. Call them not yet Muslim. And so this term da'wah is referring to inviting people who are not yet Muslim to embrace the religion of Islam. And this task, this job, this duty, this obligation is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commanded all the prophets with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, وَلَكَدْ بَأَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَن نَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَاجْتَنِبُ الْتَغُوتِ. That Allah did not send to any nation a messenger except that He called the people, أَن نَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ, to worship Allah. وَاجْتَنِبُ الْتَغُوتِ, and to reject the worship of the false gods. So every prophet, every messenger had as his primary task, his fundamental focus, to invite people away from the worship of others than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And this also teaches us the methodology of da'wah. The methodology of da'wah. As Aisha, she said about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he did not begin by saying to the people, don't fornicate. Because the people would have said, we will never stop fornicating. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not start by saying to the people, stop drinking alcohol. Because they would have said, we will never stop drinking alcohol. But the first things that he called them to was the oneness of Allah. And he reminded them of the Akhirah, of the hellfire, of the paradise, of the day of judgment. And this is something we find that most Muslims neglect in their da'wah. When they are inviting non-Muslims to Islam, and I've heard it, oh, you don't go up to a non-Muslim and say, if you don't become Muslim, you're going to hell. Oh, that's not the way to give da'wah. Really? Are you sure that's not the way to give da'wah? Are you sure? I mean, okay, maybe you don't say it quite like that. You know, but actually the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the first time he publicly called people to Islam, he stood on the top of Mount Safa. And according to some seerah and some reports, there was this tradition amongst the Quraysh, amongst the people of Mecca, that if the city was going to be attacked, then someone would climb to the top of this mountain and take all their clothes off, and then warn the people. The naked warner, they called him. And the reason, presumably, for that, is that so someone doesn't do, you know, the cry wolf scenario. You know the story of the boy crying wolf, wolf, wolf. You all know that story, right? Okay, the Aesop's fable. Well, the same thing. I guess if you have to take your clothes off, you're not going to be joking. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood on the top of Mount Safa, but he sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't follow this ignorant custom. But he called the people by tribe, by name. He called each tribe of Mecca until everyone had either come or they sent a representative. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to them? What is the first thing he said to them? He said, "Oh my people, if I was to tell you that there is an army about to attack us from behind this hill, would you believe me?" And they said, all of them, they agreed, "Oh Muhammad, we never heard anything except truth from you." Subhanallah. "Oh Muhammad, we never heard anything except truth from you. Of course we will believe you." And he said, "I have come to warn you of a terrible punishment from your Lord." This is the first thing he told them. "I have come to tell you and warn you of a terrible punishment from your Lord." He made his message clear. He made it clear what this issue was about. And me, our brothers and sisters, we have to look at ourselves. When we want to talk about the barriers, the hardships, the difficulties in da'wah, we could look at the prophets. We could look at the difficulty that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced. And sometimes you wonder, and sometimes you might think, and we hear the stories, the true stories in the accounts of our brothers and sisters, even today, suffering in jails, being tortured, being subjugated to the most horrific humiliations, simply because they say, "La ilaha illallah." Yet, we will say, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not subjected to anything like that. Ibrahim was telling us about Bilal, how he was tortured in the desert, in the sands of Arabia. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't face any torture like that. So how do we understand the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That those whom Allah loves the most, He tests the most. And the ones Allah tests the most are the prophets. Then the ones most like them, then the ones most like them. And you know, brothers and sisters, this tells us actually, and if we examine this, then we will understand a very important truth about the human being, about the nature of human beings. It's actually the opposite of what we say. You know the saying we have? "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." You know that saying? Actually, the opposite is true. The opposite is true. That even sticks and stones may break your bones, but the things that can hurt you the most are words. Even more than physical punishment. The one who his own people confessed to and admitted and declared publicly, "Muhammad, we never heard anything except truth from you. Why shouldn't we believe you?" They said it with their mouths. They confessed it with their tongues. They knew Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He lived a life amongst them. They nicknamed him Al-Amin. That was the nickname that he had. Yet when he came, my brothers and sisters, to warn them, when he came to warn them, and this is how he described, he said, "I'm like a person standing by a fire, and the night, the insects of the night, the moths and the flies, they're flying into the fire, because of course they are attracted by the light, so they're flying into the fire, and I'm trying to catch them to stop them. I'm trying to catch them to stop them." Look at this example, my brothers and sisters. Look at this beautiful example Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam he is giving. Because really, what are we? What are we? Just like insects. What are we? We are specks. We are little specks, human beings, little specks on this earth. What is our origin? Where did we come from? We came from a fluid poured out, a despised fluid. That's where we came from. A sperm and an egg. Microscopic. Yet we walk upon the earth so arrogant, so proud. What are we, brothers and sisters? You know, you go up that CN Tower, CNN Tower, or CN, not the CNN Tower, the CN Tower, right? You go up there and you look down, and the human beings, we're just these little things. Just these little things walking around. That's us. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's showing his concern. Look at the concern of Rasulullah sallallahu, even for the insects. He gives this similitude, this example. Even the thing that seems most worthless, even almost a pest, yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I'm like that. I'm trying to save you from the fire. But you're getting away from me and you're going through my hands. And you know, brothers and sisters, then this is what the Prophet is trying to do. He's trying to save the human beings. This is what all the Prophets are trying to do. They're trying to save humanity from the fire. They're trying to save human beings actually indeed from misery in the life to come, yes, but also from misery and unhappiness in this life. And the Prophets are calling us to the light and the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our forgiving Lord, our noble and wise Creator. Yet we are slipping through the hands and we're going to the fire. This is the concern. And yet, through this truthfulness recognized by His people, and this concern that He has for them, this love that He has for them, this is His concern and His love. And so deep was this concern, so strong was this love and concern for His people, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inside, internally, he was dying. He was being consumed by the worry that they were not becoming Muslim. And Allah had to tell the Prophet in the Quran, He had to warn, He had to say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their guidance is not upon you. It's not upon you to guide them. It's not upon you to guide the ones who you love. Allah guides the ones who He wants to guide. But this is how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. This is his concern for his people. Yet in spite of that, they accused him of being a liar. They didn't listen to his call. They conspired against him. They fought against him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They turned against him, the best amongst them, the most noble amongst them in character. They knew he was truthful and they confessed to it. Yet in their actions they called him a liar. That is something that is so hard to take. That is a test that is so severe. That is even harder than being tortured physically. Is that mental torture and that difficulty of being falsely accused. And that's why you can see the wisdom of what Shaykh Abdullah said, when he mentioned the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how the one who carries slanders will never enter paradise. Because the damage that the slanderer causes is so deep. It's deeper than the sword. It's deeper than the sword. The wound of the pen is deeper than the wound of the sword. And this is the difficulty the Prophets faced. This is the difficulty the Prophets faced. And you know, my brothers and sisters, we mashallah are so many. You know, maybe we feel we are isolated. We are a minority. This is a strange land. How can we give dawah in this strange land where we are so few? If that is your thinking, my brothers and sisters, spare a thought for Ibrahim alayhi salam. If you want inspiration, actually, if you want inspiration as a Muslim, subhanAllah, Ibrahim alayhi salam, what an inspiration. What an inspiration. And in dawah, Ibrahim, mashallah, how committed he was, how enthusiastic he was with his people who were worshipping the stars, the moon, the sun, worshipping idols, how he tried to convey to them with logic and with reasoning and with every way that he could manage to convince them that what they were doing was wrong. And he was so soft-hearted. He was so soft-hearted, so concerned about his father and his people. This is Ibrahim alayhi salam. How he tried so many different ways to call them. And you know, the scholars mention that there was a time when Ibrahim was the only muwahid on the face of the earth. The only person of Tawheed, the only person worshipping Allah alone on the face of the earth. That's being alone, brothers and sisters. If you think you're alone, you think about Ibrahim alayhi salam. You think about Ibrahim alayhi salam, the only one. He is alone, calling the people to La ilaha illallah. Calling the people to abandon the worship of the false gods. Him alone. But that didn't deter him. And nor did, in the case of Nuh alayhi salam, the obstinacy of his people, who refused to accept his call, even though he gave da'wah to them for 950 years. Brothers and sisters, 950 years. And it's mentioned in some of the books of tafsir that a man would take his son by the hand. He would take his son by the hand and he would point to Nuh alayhi salam. He would say, "You see my son, this old man? I warn you about him as my father warned me about him." This is what they said about the Messenger of Allah, Nuh alayhi salam. And he called them in every way that he could. He called them publicly, he called them privately. He called them openly, he called them secretly. In every way that he could give them da'wah, in every way that he could think, he tried to call them. For 950 years, this is his patience, until he reached a stage when it became clear to him that if these people remained on the earth, there would be nothing on the face of the earth except people who are ungrateful and disobedient and rebellious against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what patience! What patience! These are the trials that the messengers went through. Being rejected, being denied, being alienated, being mistreated. These are the difficulties, my brothers and sisters, in da'wah. And these difficulties haven't ended. The difficulties don't end. Yes, I will tell you the truth. You want to know about da'wah and giving da'wah? It is hard. It is difficult. It is full of trials and tests and tribulations. But don't you know? Haven't you heard the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Haven't you read in the book of Allah, the meaning of which is that if your families and your businesses in which you fear a decline and your houses in which you delight, if they are dearer and more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger and striving hard in His cause, then wait until Allah brings His decision. And the decision of Allah, as Abdullah ibn Abbas said, is the punishment of Allah. It's the punishment of Allah. I will tell you a story, brothers and sisters. A story about a da'i. A story about a caller to Islam. Someone I know personally. And as any people who are involved in da'wah, they will tell you. You know, brothers and sisters, most of you, you don't perhaps realize the hardship is involved. You don't realize the difficulty of traveling from this place to that place to this place to that place. This da'i, I will tell you, he had a car, a small little car. His parents gave it to him as a wedding present. In 3 years, this car clocked up 150,000 miles. Normally it takes 25 years to get that sort of mileage on a car in England. 150,000 miles, brothers and sisters, driving up and down the country giving talks and lectures. flying from this place to that place to give talks and lectures. And then something happened to this da'i recently, very recently. As he was on one of his trips where he was doing something for da'wah, he got an email message from his wife. This email message, my brothers and sisters, was saying, I am like a single mother. I am like a woman without a husband. And they've been married for many years. More than 14 years they've been married. And subhanAllah, throughout all of that time, she is like a pillar behind him. But she is saying, I'm fed up. I can't take it anymore. My kids don't listen to me. I'm like a woman without a husband. I have no social life. I can't cope with things. The stress is too much. I can't take this anymore. And he gets home, 3 o'clock in the morning, from a da'wah trip. 3 o'clock, he's expecting the lights will be out, everyone will be asleep, but he gets home, 3 o'clock in the morning. He finds his wife is sitting awake. Tears are streaming down her face. And then for another 2 hours, although he's exhausted, he listens to her talking about her life, talking about how she has no life. And she says to him in this conversation, this family is not a priority for you. This family, and he's listened to her for 2 hours, he patiently sits there, and so he should. He should listen to her patiently. This is his wife. And in this conversation, towards the end, she says, this family is not a priority for you. This family is not the priority. And then he speaks. He says, so my wife, what is my priority, do you think? She says, da'wah is your priority. And then he quotes to her that verse that I just quoted to you. He says, don't you know that Allah said in the Quran that if your families and your business and your homes are more beloved to you than Allah and His Messenger and striving hard in His cause, then wait until Allah brings His decision. And Allah's decision means His punishment. Oh my wife, if I am striving in the path of Allah, if I am giving this da'wah, then it's only because if we don't do that, and not just me, you, if you don't do that as well, then Allah's punishment will come upon us. Because Allah does not break His promise. And I don't say this, my brothers and sisters, everyone has to find a balance in their life. Everyone has to care for their families, for their business, for their home. But the truth is, my brothers and sisters, that if you love those things more than Allah and His Messenger, and this verse is not only addressed to the da'is, it's addressed to all of us, every single one of you. All of us, brothers and sisters. If you love your home and your business and your family, you love that more than Allah, and you love it more than His Messenger, and you love it more than striving and struggling and sacrificing in the cause of Allah, just wait until Allah brings His decision. Because most surely, if you don't love Allah, and if you don't love His Messenger, and you don't love standing for the truth, and if you are not one of those people, if you are not one of those people who is not afraid of the criticizers, then you know what? Allah will take you away. And He will replace you with another people. And they will love Allah. And they will love the Messenger. And they will call people to this deen of Islam. Because Allah does not need you. He does not need me. We are the ones who need Allah. We are the ones who need to struggle and strive in the cause of Allah. But you know what, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you something else. I'll be frank with you, yes. I invite you to hardship. I invite you to difficulty. I invite you to trials. I invite you to tribulations. But it's a difficulty and a hardship and trial and a tribulation that is so sweet. It is so sweet. Because that's where true pleasure and true happiness lies, brothers and sisters. Not in ease as we think of it, not in comfort as we think of it, not in luxury as we think of it, but true happiness, the true happiness that is inside, the true peace and tranquility and joy and bliss and the sweetness to taste how sweet life truly is. You have to live that life according to the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us. You have to sacrifice and struggle and strive for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah tells us in the Quran. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has guided us to. And in that is sweetness. In that is delight. In that is pleasure. In that is joy. In this life. And of course, in the life to come. Because our stay here, brothers and sisters, like those moths, like those flies, like those insects in the night, flying into the fire, we are just here for a brief moment. A brief moment. A moment of time. But it's this moment now, these moments, these brief moments that we have on this earth, they are going to decide your destination in the life to come. These moments and what you do with this time that you have, what you do with this energy that you have, what you do with this wealth that you have, what you do with this mind, this intelligence that Allah has blessed you with, what you do with this situation, here you are, Muslims, living in a free society where you can talk and share with people your experiences and your feelings and your knowledge. And believe me, brothers and sisters, most of them will welcome it. They will welcome you to come out of your shells. They will welcome you to talk with them and share with them how you feel about how beautiful Islam is. They're just waiting. They're just waiting to hear from you the truth. But we're covering it up. We're hiding the truth. We're hiding this deen that Allah has given us. And you know what? The greatest obstacle in da'wah today? It's us. It's us. It's the Muslims. We have become our own worst enemy, my dear brothers and sisters. So it is time. It is time. Now is the time. Today is the time. This is the time that we take up this challenge. That we have a new era in da'wah. We have a new approach, we have a new mentality to calling people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we feel proud of our deen and happy to be Muslim. And we are so willing and happy to share what we have with others. You know, my brothers and sisters, there are many sad things that happen to us in our lives. Many sad things. And you know, something happened to me, and I say this, I suppose at the risk of perhaps looking a bit stupid in your eyes, but I am who I am, and I feel what I feel. We had a rabbit. Her name was Smokey. She was a very beautiful rabbit, brothers and sisters, and we had her when she was this small, like a little baby. And you know, she became like a part of the family. We got used to seeing her every day, playing with her, stroking with her. You know, she knew us all. It's just, you know, this little piece of life, even if it was just a rabbit, this little piece of life that somehow was a part of us, our family. And it's summer in UK like here, and we thought it'd be nice for Smokey to stay outside, because, you know, rabbits, they like to run around, and we have a hutch for her. Friday morning I went outside and I found that the hutch was open. This is after Fajr, 5 o'clock in the morning. So I thought, I didn't know how that happened. So I started calling Smokey, Smokey. Usually she just comes, but she didn't come. And then I started to panic. And I looked and I went down an alleyway and I looked and I moved some cases and things and I found, you know, I saw this little, you know, black, because she's a black rabbit, and I saw her body, and And then I looked and I saw that she was dead. And she was really in a horrible position. You could tell straight away that something terrible had happened to her. It was really sad. Really, really shocked me. And it's just a rabbit, but you know, it was like part of my family. And you know what I thought, brothers and sisters? And really I was upset. Even when I saw my thoban, the little marks that were made by Smokey when I picked her up once, I was remembering, you know, the happiness she brought to us. And you know, brothers and sisters, you know, if someone can care that much about an animal, a rabbit, and we just, you know, we're just shocked to see that this, and still I am sad to think that she had a horrible death. My brothers and sisters, how about our, and I say it, I mean our brothers and sisters in humanity, because we all come from Adam. We have one father and one mother. How about our fellow human beings, brothers and sisters? How about the end that they are going to face? How about the end that they're going to face? How about what they're going to see on the day of judgment? The fire that will burn the skin and recreate the skin. And Allah will burn the skin so the people in there can taste the punishment. How about that, my brothers and sisters? How can we fail to be moved, to be motivated, to try and save them? If we can care about an animal and we feel pity for it, and if we saw it in danger, we'd probably try and save it. How about our fellow human beings? And we know the guidance, we know the truth from Allah, we know the destination for those who make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know their fate and we know their end. What are we doing to save the people from the hellfire? Where is our love? Where is our concern? Where is our compassion? What has happened to us? What has happened to us Muslims? Where is the dawah? Where is the call? Why haven't we taken up the call of the prophets? That it's something that we all have to do within our individual capacity. Not, of course, not everyone has to stand on a platform and give lectures, but every one of you has a duty to give dawah according to your capacity. To the people you work with, your neighbors, your colleagues, the people you go to school with, don't you think that on the day of judgment? Don't you think that on the day when we stand in front of Allah and every single atom's weight of good that we have done, we will know about it. And every single atom's weight of evil we have done, we will know about it. Don't you think on that day, my brothers and sisters, Allah will ask you, why you didn't let them know about Islam? Why you didn't tell them about this deen? So my brothers and sisters, I invite you. I invite you to take up this obligation. I invite you to take up this obligation. I invite you to what is hard but what is sweet. I invite you to the success in this life and the life to come. And to take upon yourself, all of you, according to your capacity, that obligation of calling those people who are not yet Muslim to know and understand and live this beautiful religion that is the religion of Islam. دستورنا القرآن وديننا الإسلام أركانه الجليلة دعائم الفضيلة ويا الشهادتان كعيدة الإيمان والصوم والصلاة.